The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.
Well, I'm joined in studio by Scott Lucas, Professor and Political Analyst at the Clinton Institute at University College Dublin. We want to talk about the latest developments in Lebanon and also what's happening in the United States, because there have been leaks, Scott.
There have been leaks. There are two stories that are breaking in the past 3 days. The first is the leak of American documents, and they have been confirmed as genuine, detailing Israeli preparations for a possible strike on Iran. Of course, this would be retaliation for Iran's own missile strikes a couple of weeks ago. Now, they talk about Israel preparing aerial resources such as warplanes, such as drones, and the clear signal here is they could be getting ready. But what we do not know is who put out this leak, and that leads to different stories.
Were they hacked, or is this a deliberate leak?
Yeah. So the documents first came out with an Iranian group or a purported Iranian group, and you would think, oh, the Iranians are calling out the Israelis and the Americans for preparing for this. But there's also a scenario where the U.S. in particular may want it to be known that the Israelis are preparing this capability or could prepare this capability, which is a signal to the Iranians, which is watch your step.
Yeah.
In other words, at any point, Israel could hit you. Because the big action still is the open-ended Israeli wars on Gaza and Lebanon, which leads me to the second big development. Not only is Israel continuing the aerial and ground assault in Lebanon, including strikes on Beirut this morning, the Israelis have tabled their proposal for, quote, a ceasefire. And what that proposal effectively says is, oh, we'll stop the bombing and we'll stop the ground assault if we can go in at any point to hit Hezbollah again, and if we have effective control.
When is a ceasefire not really a ceasefire?
Yeah, because they're also saying, and we can also, if we have the ability to go into Lebanese airspace at any point, which of course means they could carry out further bombing at the time of their choosing.
Now, what about the drone that was aimed at Netanyahu's home?
I think that's legitimate. I think Hezbollah, which has been badly damaged with the loss of its leadership, including Hassan Nasrallah, wanted to show we haven't disappeared. The drone was intercepted at one of Netanyahu's homes. The Israelis say he was at another home. He was not in any jeopardy. But Hezbollah could thump its chest and say, we have this capability. But of course, what Netanyahu could say is, look, this is even more imperative why we destroy Hezbollah, because they came after me.
Now, he said we're going to retaliate for this outrageous attack on one of my homes. And I was just thinking, how many homes has he ordered the destruction of? I mean, how deluded is this man that he should not be quite a legitimate target for those whose homes he's destroyed?
I wouldn't say Netanyahu's deluded. I say he's an opportunist. Remembering that Benjamin Netanyahu, in effect, was saved by Hamas when they carried out that mass killing more than a year ago, because he was in serious trouble inside Israel. He continues to take every opportunity to shore up his political position. So what does he do? He takes the opportunity to say, even with the killing of Hassan Nasrallah, even with the killing of most of Hezbollah's leadership, we do not stop in Lebanon. We carry on to the point where Hezbollah is obliterated, which isn't going to happen. Hezbollah is not going to disappear.
Now, one interesting thing, BBC reporting that Israelis were targeting banks across Lebanon on the basis that the money was coming from Iran into these banks and then used by Hezbollah to do their stuff. Most banks don't actually have the gold bullion or the notes in the vault. I mean, they're somewhere in the cloud. So what's the point in this? Is it to destroy all records or what?
Well, it's symbolic, which is we'll hit everything connected with Hezbollah, but it also destroys infrastructure because banks need offices. Banks need places where personnel can gather. And so just as they have destroyed the political personnel, the military personnel of some of Hezbollah, they hit the financial services. But here's where this becomes a wider story. Hezbollah is not apart from Lebanese society. It is part of Lebanese society. You may agree or disagree with what they've done, but they are part of the political system. They were in government at one point. They are part of the economic system. So the Israeli raids are not only going to cripple Hezbollah, they will further cripple Lebanon, which has been on the brink of bankruptcy for several years.
Now, moving back to the United States and the polls and the carry-on of the two candidates over the weekend, I mean, Trump is getting madder and madder.
I, I'm just going to say four words, both as an analyst and as an American worried about the future of the country. This is not normal. We could have a litany of the behavior of Trump in terms of whether it be the 40 minutes of dancing at one of his rallies, whether it be his latest insults of Kamala Harris using words I wouldn't put out on the radio, whether this story about a famous golfer named Arnold Palmer referring to his genitalia. This is not a normal person who is campaigning to become president. And the reason why I emphasize this is there is a media failure which is going on inside the U.S. and regrettably even outside the U.S., including with a very leading commentator in this country, which is to normalize Trump, to treat it as the polls. That's all we have to read.
But you know, if Joe Biden was to tell a rambling story about Arnold Palmer's genitalia, the media would be all over Joe Biden, claiming he'd completely lost it and was unfit, blah, blah, blah. Why does, and this is what we always hear, Trump gets a pass.
Trump gets a pass, of course, from some media because they support Trump. You think about Fox TV, which continues to be prominent in the U.S. It gets a pass from some other media because they prefer to cover the spectacle of the election rather than the issues. And it gets a pass from some media because they are very wary of calling Trump out because they think then they'll be accused of being biased, that they'll be accused of being Trump haters. And without naming specific outlets at this point, it means that you are not getting responsible coverage of the election by the mainstream, both in covering Trump and in covering Harris. Again, to refer to a very prominent commentator here who just said, Harris is a weak candidate. Harris is really not fit to be running at this point. Apparently, without paying any attention to Harris's rallies, Harris's appearance with Fox TV recently, or Harris's appearance on podcast, where she has been more than capable, but talking about issues rather than playing the Trump language of spectacle.
I mean, it looks like Donald Trump, and maybe the people go to his rallies for the kind of the stand-up version of Donald Trump. He'll tell these yarns and stories, and his language will be maybe the language of the ordinary people. I don't know.
You know, you cannot underestimate that Donald Trump, from the time of 2015 when he came in, he's shy of engagement with issues, but he's long on engagement with whipping up people, make America great again. And when you have many people who have been frustrated or angry, when you have to admit that since 2008, 2009, America's gone through some economic rough patches, he's the snake oil salesman. That's part of our American mythology. He just happens to be a very vicious version of a snake oil salesman.
If he should lose, what then?
Oh, he'll refuse to accept the electoral result. I mean, we know that. We saw that in 2020. He will use all his outlets to try to overturn the election. He'll use his lawyers to try to overturn the election. But the worry is he'll call people out onto the streets this time. And he will not be afraid of if those people then turn to violence, as we saw with him just this past week, saying that January the 6th, 2021, the Capitol attack was a day of love and peace. He will actually support any violence to try to overturn the election.
And what will the Secret Service do, who are charged to protect this man as candidate and former president? I mean, are they likely to allow him to get away with this kind of stuff? Or will they finally, you know, man up and say, this guy is dotty, let's arrest him?
Well, the Secret Service have to protect Trump because you have to protect him as an individual. The question is the American system resilient enough? And that is, will the Justice Department hold the line against this attempt to overturn the Constitution? Will other American state governments hold the line when he tries to overturn their results? And will the U.S. military make sure that it does not break from supporting the U.S. system and will never support just one individual, Donald John Trump?
Scott Lucas, professor and political analyst at the Clinton Institute at UCD. Thank you very much, Scott, for joining us in studio today.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.